She's the most accomplished young detective in the history of the department. He's a third-generation cop who left Wall Street to honor his father's legacy. Together, they head the Impossible Crimes Unit, tasked with cracking the most unsolvable cases. When all others have failed, the ICU is the last hope for justice. When all others have failed, you call Black and White. This is their story.
That's an excerpt from Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. Charles is probably best known for the critically acclaimed novel, How to Live Safely in a Science Fictional Universe. He's also worked for hit shows like Legion on FX and the HBO series Westworld. His television experience likely came in handy for Interior Chinatown. Structured like a script, the novel explores racism through the literal lens of the TV cameras. Charles talks about the inspiration behind Interior Chinatown.
Well, I've been wanting to write about a few things for years now, and I hadn't really found the way in. My parents are immigrants from Taiwan, and they've been here for more than 50 years. More than two-thirds of their lives, they've lived in America as naturalized citizens, as Americans. And I've also got two kids, and they're 12 and 10 now, and they're reaching an age where they can ask questions, and they talk about things with classmates, and you know, they have questions around their identity and sort of both in terms of where do their families come from, but also are they real Americans? You know, they see the news. They see questions about immigration and questions about race and ethnicity as well. So, and I couldn't find a way in that felt true and that I would be able to do. You know, I mean, I certainly think there are very important, weighty ways to write about race and questions of who is an American and roles and stereotypes. But I wanted to, at the same time, have a different kind of approach. And I wanted to tell a good story that I hope is also entertaining.
So do you have an elevator pitch for Interior Chinatown?
I do. Yeah. You know, we've all seen Law and Order. Every few seasons, it seems they have a special episode set in Chinatown. And you've got the two leads and they're cops and they're discussing the case and they're in the foreground. And way in the back, almost out of focus, is an Asian guy unloading a van. And I wanted to tell a story about that guy, you know, van guy, who doesn't usually get a lot of lines and doesn't usually have a name. But in my book, he does have a name, and his name is Willis Wu. And Willis lives upstairs from a Chinese restaurant, and he lives in this kind of single-room occupancy place. It's like a dorm room, you know, for adults. And every morning, Willis goes downstairs and works at his job in this fictionalized cop show that I created called Black and White. And in the world of Black and White, Willis plays generic Asian man number three, but his dream is to become Kung Fu guy because that's the highest he can aspire to be in this world.
Yes. It's such a clever premise because you're exploring the racism that Asian Americans have experienced over the past 200 years through the lens, the literal lens of the TV cameras that are used to film the procedural police show Black and White in the Golden Palace restaurant in Chinatown. And of course, you wrote it in the form of a screenplay, TV script. You used the standard screenplay font, the typewriter font, Courier. Not all of these ideas came to you at once, did they?
Not quite at once, but it was one of those rare moments where the first line sort of fell out of my head, you know, and I was walking my dog and it was 2017. It was after the election, and I don't think that's too coincidental. I think I'd started thinking about trying to tell a story that did have a bit more weight, and all of a sudden that line came to me and the framework sort of presented itself, and I thought, am I really going to do this? Does it really work as a screenplay format? Do I have what it takes to carry it all the way through as a book? And I eventually decided I had to try.
What is that first sentence?
Ever since you were a boy, you've dreamt of being Kung Fu guy, and then you are not Kung Fu guy.
Right, yeah, that's great, yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about the TV cop show, Black and White, that is filmed in the Golden Palace restaurant?
So Black and White is a Law and Order type procedural cop show, and I spent a lot of time, especially when my kids were babies and I was holding them, trying to get them to go to sleep, watching, binging Law & Order, or binging SVU. And so that kind of formed the core of my sort of Law & Order knowledge. And so Black & White is a show where it's titled Black & White because in a very on-the-nose Hollywood trope way, there's a black cop and a white cop.
Yeah.
And the format is what you would expect. They find a dead body, they solve the case, and within the course of every episode, we get answers and we follow a pattern. And where Willis comes into that in terms of his story is he plays a very small role, but in the course of the story, he's hoping to expand his role. And, you know, in the course of the story, we also see how the form and all of the other roles also lock in the performer. So it's not just Willis who feels trapped as generic Asian man. Black and white also feel trapped. And there are other roles as well that are limiting to the three-dimensional people that have to play them.
Your book features epigraphs from Bonnie Sui's book, American Chinatown. Can you tell me a bit about the first one and why you wanted to use it at the beginning of your book?
Yeah. This was part of this wonderful rush of things that happened right when I kind of decided to write it this way, was I got to do a lot of research and look at sort of the history of Chinatown. And one of the things that I found out was that Chinatown does have this history of, at least LA Chinatowns had this history of being doubling as sets. Mm-hmm. And they played for Asia for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. But really what Bonnie Sui's getting at here in this quote is that it doesn't stand for any specific, you know, location. It stands for kind of the idea of an Asian exotic locale. And the point being that we don't, as viewers of the thing that's being filmed, we don't care so much where that is. We just know it's other, you know, it's supposed to be this kind of idea. And I thought that was the perfect way in to describe what the Chinatown that Willis Wu lives in is like.
Especially that last sentence, even today, Chinatown stands in for the ambiguous Asian anywhere, that ambiguous Asian, which figures very, very large in the course of your book. Yeah. Yeah. In her book, Bonnie says that Los Angeles Chinatown sends a signal to explore your cultural identity. And I'm wondering, was exploring your cultural identity something that you were trying to do, a goal you had when you were writing Interior Chinatown?
It was, to an extent. You know, my parents are immigrants from Taiwan, and I have grown up listening to their stories and have tried in my own way to pass along some of that to my own kids. But as a, you know, American who was born and raised here, I have a really sort of limited capacity to do that as a dad, as a person who passes cultural knowledge along. You know, my cultural knowledge is 80s sitcoms and video games. Among other things. And so it was about trying to explore cultural identity, but the specific cultural identity that I think I have as an Asian American, you know, both sides of the hyphen being relevant there.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn? Did you learn anything about your cultural identity? Did you reframe it, rethink it while you were writing your book?
I think it did help to see things through Willis's eyes. You know, in creating this character, I almost started to have a dialogue with a fictionalized version of someone that I could imagine knowing or someone that is drawn from parts of me. It is personal in some ways that I have often felt not part of the action or pushed into stereotypes. And until I wrote this book, I couldn't quite articulate exactly what that feels like or why it matters. And so, and I think the latter part is really was worth writing the book just in itself, is that I was able to articulate to myself why it matters.
Mm. You even extend the screenplay approach in Interior Chinatown to the acknowledgments, which, of course, you present in the form of the end credits of a movie. And you say that the 1956 book, The Presentation of Self in Everyday Life, by my fellow Canadian Irving Goffman, was a big influence on your novel. Can you tell me how Goffman's book influenced your novel?
Yeah, I found his book years ago at a, you know, UCLA textbook store, and I was working as a lawyer then, and I just happened upon it. It looked fascinating, and I read it probably close to 20 years ago, and it's sort of never left my mind since. The framework that Goffman lays out is basically of the self as a kind of performance, and he talks about roles, and he talks about communication out of character and regions and all these kind of, if you imagine a stage, front stage and backstage, and how even in interactions as simple as like going to get coffee or, you know, waiting for an elevator or passing someone on the street, there's a kind of performative aspect to what we show to people and what we hide from people. And a great example of this would be like workers at a fast food restaurant who are rolling their eyes at a customer, right?
Right.
They're sharing something as people who are playing the role of, here's Taco Bell, you know, here's the front stage of it, and then here's the backstage of it. And that, as a framework, was, I think, the background of what Interior Chinatown is trying to do, is saying, yes, self as a kind of role, and then on top of that, what about an Asian American consciousness on top of that? And then where it got more exciting to me was not just that Willis is playing a role, but that all of these characters, black, white, Willis's parents, even the children, are playing roles. And that just was, Goffman's book is, you know, such a powerful tool for examining all of that.
Yeah. When I think of racist portrayals of Asian Americans in American films, the first image that comes to my mind is Mickey Rooney's character, Mr. Yunioshi, in the 1961 rom-com Breakfast at Tiffany's. I'm curious to know, what do you think were the most damaging and racist portrayals of Asian Americans in the history of American film?
That's one.
Yeah.
you kind of already nailed it. I think Long Duk Dong, 16 Candles for, you know, the next
right.
generation.
Yes, yes, John Hughes, yeah.
I think growing up, as I was born in 76, I guess I would have been sort of a teenager the first time I encountered that movie. And when you grow up not seeing any models that look anything like you, and then that's the one you see, it doesn't take that much to be damaging. It just says, well, there you go. And I think what happened, at least to me, and what I'm trying to articulate in the book, is there's a sense in which TV is our reality. It's the one we're projecting out there. So it both shapes what we think of ourselves, and it reflects what we're currently thinking. And that creates this kind of feedback loop where it reinforces what we already think about ourselves. And when you, for instance, see, like, let's say a hospital show where there are no Asian doctors, you know, I mean, there are definitely Asian doctors on TV now, but I mean, for years I watched shows where everyone at the hospital looked a certain way. And then you walk into a real hospital and you're like, where are all the Indian doctors on TV? You know, like half of these doctors should be Indian and all the nurses should be Filipino probably. Like, if we're reflecting reality. So what we're seeing on the screen obviously is a highly filtered version of reality. And then you start to ask, well, why is the filter that way? Why does it seem to only strain out certain kinds of colors? And so scarcity of Asian roles for me growing up, and then seeing when they did pop up, seeing how stylized, and often now as a dad, I watch my kids looking at it. And even though, yes, they have some great role models that they get to see, still, we've watched TV recently where we're seeing non-Asians play what's essentially an Asian character doing an accent that they definitely don't have. There's progress, but there's also still room for improvement. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, on the one hand, we just watched Awkwafina accept the Golden Globe, or Crazy Rich Asians, or Fresh Off the Boat. You can see those shows on TV. And then on the other hand, you still have this, you know, and you still have casts where it's 19 beautiful blonde people, you know, it's like, then there's one ethnic part. You kind of know, okay, that's the ethnic part, and that's probably how that was written, because, we can't have all of them be blue-eyed, but we can have most of them, and we just need to make sure we fill the slot. I do wonder, though, in those two specific examples, you know, with Crazy Rich Asians, that's really a movie about Asians, not Asian Americans, you know?
Yeah.
And they're very
Good
rich.
Point. Yes, yes.
And so it's this beautiful fantasy, and I was very entertained by the movie, but that's a different kind of story. And I think with The Farewell, which I loved that movie, Lulu Wang's movie, and Awkwafina was, you know, excellent in it. It's, again, it's an American going to China, and the movie takes place in China. With both this book and what I'm curious to see, are there going to be stories where Asian Americans can be part of the actual reality we see on screen the way they are in actual reality?
What more do you think Hollywood could and should be doing besides, of course, turning Interior Chinatown into a major motion picture or a streaming series?
I think, you know, it's already partly being done, and it's what people have said, which is those stories generally need to be told by storytellers who have a different point of view. What I mean is that when we tell those stories, and whoever's telling them authentically from a place, you know, a sincere place, that it is not a filtered version of reality, but it's actually acknowledging the messiness of real life. And that's kind of what I was getting at with the title Black and White.
Charles Yu, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Charles Yu is the author of Interior Chinatown. Find out more about Charles at wpr.org/beta.
We settled on the idea of therapy because you have traffic passing through your office, and especially if there were comedians, it could be wonderful.
Comedian Jonathan Katz revisits his famous character, Dr. Katz. The doctor will be with you in just a minute. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.